The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 15, verse 12 to 21. It is on the page 213 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the script. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders of God has done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I'll return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogue of every Sabbath." Amen. Father and mother are two terms that are contrary to each other. Father and mother can never be the same. It is impossible that father take care of role of mother when she died, and vice versa. The mother can take the role of father when the father passes away. But even if that's the case, we don't call father the mother, we don't call mother the father, because the father has to be male and the mother has to be female. These days, with highly advanced medical technology, there are some people who go through transsexual surgery, but it is fundamentally impossible that man becomes woman and woman becomes man. God made man from mud, while woman was created by him who's already made the rib of the man. He made man, and after a period of time, made woman. God created man and woman to have different body structure and gave different temperament and characteristics with masculinity and femininity, respectively. He gave different roles to man and woman accordingly. Therefore, there are fundamental differences between men and women: the difference of time when they were created, the differences of body structure, the differences of character, and their roles. As such, since man and woman are fundamentally different, man cannot become mother and woman cannot become father. Father must be male and mother must be a female. This fundamental difference between father and mother sometimes serves some misunderstanding or obstacle in our right understanding of God. The Bible teaches us that God is our Father. When God is a Father, we easily believe that God has a male gender. And if that's so, the father is name actually contrary to mother, and Father God does not play the role of mother. And God can be perceived playing a role of father only. The calling of name father makes us misunderstand our God. And if there is someone who has been greatly wounded or hurt by one's biological father, then this calling can negatively influence building positive relationship with God. It all starts from this misunderstanding of the name you call our God, which is Father. God is different from human. While God is a maker and eternal and holy, humans, the product or the work of God, are nothing compared to God, and we are just limited and hideous sinners. For this reason, Father, the name we call ourselves for human, and usually call the male, is different the Father that we call our Lord, our Maker. These two meanings can never be same. We call God our Father because the nature of the relationship between God and us are so intimate and inseparable, just like the parental bonding we have between us and our parents. Not because God has male gender of father, whose role is contrary to mother. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." God had certain rules and principles when he created humans. He created us in his own image. The point here is that God created humans in his own image into male and female. If God had been male, he would have created only man in his own image. And if God was female, only women would have been created. But the fact that God made man and woman in his own image means that God has both characteristics as male and female. As I spoke in the New Believers class, God has both paternity and maternity. This is why that God being the Father does not mean God who only has paternal figure without maternity. It means that God has both paternity and maternity, paternal love and maternal love. And he's the only and perfect parent who has integrated these two into one. Up until now, in English Bible, God has been written as He in the first third person male singular pronoun. This pronoun, He, indicates that God is male. For this reason, some recently published English Bibles use he/she, adding the third person female singular form, she. And this is to represent in letters that God has both masculinity and femininity and paternity and maternity. This is to express this literally as well, so that to better understand God fully. God, whom we believe in, can be expressed both as our Father and Mother at the same time, not one or the other. So our God is maternal God and paternal God. A Korean dictionary called People's Korean Dictionary explains paternal love as father's love towards his children. Then, isn't it natural to define maternal love as mother's love towards her children? But in the definition for maternal love, there is one more word in the definition that is added here. It explains as maternal's instinctive love towards her children. Another dictionary published by a language institute by Yonsei University provides very similar definitions. For paternity, the definition is father's love towards his children, exactly the same definition. But when it defines maternity, it adds one more word, stating mother's unconditional love and instinctive love towards her children. These dictionaries emphasize together what maternal love is much deeper and stronger than paternal love. The characteristics of paternity is the strongness and the strictness. So father fulfills his responsibility as a protector and caretaker of his family in this troubled world and educates his children strictly to make them walk in the right way. Just being strict is not enough to win for everything. When someone is only strong and strict, he or she can hurt someone or oneself. The paternal love has to be in harmony with maternity. Maternity can be characterized as softness, sensitivity, and delicacy. So when that strictness and strength of the paternity is harmonized with softness and sensitivity of maternity, then it will not be used in a negative way, but it will help to sublimate the energy to become power of life and vitality to save lives. When a little child is in pain from fever and one who is staying up all night by the child's bed is a mother. A mother immediately knows what the child wants from the sound, the cry, or the facial affect the child is making. When a car is about to hit a child playing on the street, it is always mother who immediately jumps the child and saves the child's life at the price of her own. When a child misbehaves and worried that he or she might get scolded by father, mother holds and protects the child and pats on the shoulder of the child. It is very clear, although the fault is very clear, the mother tried to intermediate between the child and the mother. In this perspective, how maternal love is defined in Korean dictionary with additional word is not exaggeration. It is defined as inborn unconditional and instinctive love that is very accurate. On the other hand, for one who lost this father in his early years, maybe has deficiency of paternal love, whereas the one who lost his mother in early years may have deficiency of maternal love. Or the person hurt by his biological father or mother in his early childhood might be resistant or have some kind of animosity towards the term paternal love or maternal love. Even if that's so, to people who've lost parent or hurt by his or her parents in the early childhood, or even for us who are born by finite parents, what a gracious gospel it is to have a parent, both mother and father, as integrated one who is omnipotent and eternal God. When the Red Sea blocked Israelites, God split the sea at once. When the Israelites were harassed, God put to death 185,000 men of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, overnight. Our Lord is paternal God, eliminating barriers and anything that blocks us. Therefore, we have to rely on that paternal God to win this unforgiving world. However, if God is only God of paternity, how can we, the sinners, come before such fearful and strict God? The reason we can come before the fearful God is because He is also the maternal God as well. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 to 16 states, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." How can a mother forget her baby, whom she gave birth to and breastfed? Even if the biological mother may forget that baby, God does not forget us. He said He will engrave us in the palms of His hand. Despite all of our faults and sins, He loves and cares for us to the degree He would engrave us in His hand, because He's the maternal God as well. Further, Psalm 121, verse 2 to 3, "He will not let your foot sleep. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Just as a mother stays, just like how mother stays by her child's bed all night when the child has fever, God does not turn away from us when we are in need of Him. Even when we are sound asleep, God watches over us and helps our hearts to beat, because He is maternal God as well. We have such privilege of having God in our life, who is both paternal and maternal God. Despite of our wrongful past, He has taken us as His children. If He had not been maternal God, this would not be possible. Today, the scripture once again reminds us of this important fact and its spiritual message. In the Jerusalem Council, after Peter and Paul testified and Barnabas proved how God saved uncircumcised Gentiles solely through His grace, the person who made the final decision on the issue of circumcision on the Gentiles was James, the chairperson of the Jerusalem Council and younger brother of Jesus. We have studied about James in depth during the last week's service. Today, we look closely to his decision that he made. Let's look at the verse 14. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. Simon is Peter's Hebrew name. James mentioned Peter's name in Hebrew. And this may be, this might mean that the most of the attendants at the Jerusalem Council might be Jewish people. Peter has described how God showed his concern means that Peter testified how God saved Cornelius' party in Caesarea. As James was describing this, he used the word at first. As he is saying this, he word used at first. And this has many interpretations of what this at first would mean. There are many texts which interpret its meaning as Cornelius' party being the first to be saved by God among the Gentiles. But it's not true. Just in the New Testament, not to mention the Old Testament, the first Gentile who accepted the Lord and was baptized was Enoch of Ethiopia, who met Philip in the desert of Judea. Therefore, it makes more sense if the word or expression at first is interpreted as Peter being the first person testifying about the grace of God, bringing salvation to the Gentiles in the Jerusalem Council. Today, what we want to closely look is James was mentioning how God saved the Gentile Cornelius' party through Peter, and he described it as God showed his concern. The original word translated as concern comes from Greek verb episkeptomai, which has more profound meaning than the word concern. It means personally visiting somebody who is in sadness, pain, or despair, and taking care of and comforting such person. In other words, it is a word that describes the maternal love of God watching over His people without slumbering and sleeping. A Korean proverb says, there's a Korean proverb which says, widow's circumstances are best understood by another widow. Because one has lost, the husband can understand a person who has lost a spouse. But there is no proverb which says a widow's circumstances are understood by widower. And this is because they are different gender. The wife would know another wife who lost husband, and the husband, when husband loses the wife, the widow cannot fully understand that because they are different gender. In Nine City, there was a widow who had one son. It is needless to say that her only son was everything to her. However, one day her son died. All the people in the town tried to comfort her. But who can understand the sorrow of widow 100%? Unless they are the widow who've lost their only son, no one would understand her 100%. But when Jesus visited the town, his heart went down to her and saved her only son from death and gave back his life. According to Luke chapter 7, verse 16, people praise God, saying, God has come to help his people. Here, the same verb, episkeptomai, is used here. It means that God understood the circumstances of a widow who lost her only son. How can God understand her circumstances? If he had been only paternal God, he wouldn't have known this. But because he is paternal and maternal God, he was able to empathize with this. The word episkeptomai has the same meaning as Hebrew word kapad. Sarah, who is the wife of Abraham, could not have any child until she was 90 years old. It was impossible to have a baby when she lost all the fertility. But Genesis chapter 21 states as follows. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God has promised him. God had concern for Sarah and took care of her, who could not have any child until the age of 90. Here the word concern means pakad in Hebrew. In Greek, episkeptomai. God has empathized the loneliness and sorrow of Sarah. How would God would know the mind of the old lady? It is because he is maternal God as well. That's why he would empathize with Sarah's sorrow. Then, does this mean that maternal God can only be concerned of women? No. Maternal God takes care of everyone, both men and women, old and young, everybody's minds, sorrows, and wounds. That's why God has reached Cornelius' party in the Caesarea through Peter, who has lived as Gentiles for a long time, and saved them and took them in as his children. This is possible because God was also maternal God as well. God does not have any gender of male or female. God has both maternity and paternity and masculinity and femininity. God is different from human beings. God's maternity is not like that of the human, nor gender of human. When those two words for human are dichotomous and incompatible for human, but for God, these two are fully integrated as one, in perfect sense, with harmony and balance. That's why God's love is the perfect love. Most of us think of God more as Father, thinking of Him as a paternal figure. However, if we need to grow up as a mature Christian and have more faith, we have to be filled with maternal God as well. It was the maternal God who went after Cornelius' group to touch their heart and embrace them. It was maternal God who touched our minds when we are mourning in sins, and He took us into being His children. And it was maternal God, the Son of God, was sent to us to give away His life to save us from our sins instead of giving us punishment. Because God was maternal God, He said to stand up again and told us to stay strong, and He's given us encouragement and support, holding our hands. Because He is maternal God, when we fall down and lose our mind, He holds us in His arms and take us on His back. This maternity of God, this maternal love, is the best present and blessing for all the human beings. Paternity cannot be replaced the greatness of maternity. And this is why the Roman Catholic is idolizing the Jesus Mother Maria to be the level of God in order to fulfill these human needs. How can human Maria's maternal love be compared to the maternal love of God, who has both maternity and paternity? Only God has both maternity and paternity, and we need to believe this and know this and rely on Him. Are any of you in despair or sadness? Are you walking through a tunnel that seems endless? Then rely on the God who is already in us and stand up again. The God who is in our life is one who takes care of our life with full responsibility and who resolves our needs and gives us encouragement and unconditional love. And He is our maternal God. Did you know that? That maternal God will embrace us in His heart. Let's pray. Thank you for being the paternal God for us. We will win over the worldly temptation relying on your paternal love, holding our strict standards. Thank you for being maternal God as well. We will win over the hurdles and hardships and stand up strong with hopes, even though the dark tunnel we are walking through seems endless. Even if there is no one in this world who can empathize and understand us, we do know that the maternal God knows everything about us and embraces us to give strength for another new start with strength and courage. Give us wisdom to integrate maternal and paternal God as one so that our personality, spirit, behaviors, and speaking can be just as your child who resembles you, so that our lives can be harmonious and stable by projecting both parental and maternal God to the world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.